Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Friday on The Fan, and that means it's a football Friday. As always, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet, for real sports fans. There is some rumblings, Tommy, that I could be at Charlestown on Sunday. There's some progress being made. Still a lot to sort out.
There's a rumor. The wind is whispering.
It's one of those things where I really want to go to Charlestown. I do. It would make my day so fun and great. But do I... I'm going to feel guilty and bad while I'm there.
That's
because
the thing.
I should be at home. It's a Redskins bye week.
Yeah.
Helping.
You're not going to feel guilty.
My wife.
There will be guilt, but how hard does that leash pull at you?
Right. We'll be up there at the Skybox Sports Bar. We'll be playing in game.
I'm not saying I'm not going to be thrilled. I mean, it's going to be the best day ever. But at the same time, I'm going to be like, darn, not that great of a husband. But.
Oh, well, steak, please.
Love football. You know, like. Just it's all in my own head.
Like, I get
she'll
it.
Be like, "Oh, go, no problem," but I'm away a lot.
I want you to want to stay, kind of.
No. It's not even that. It's just I'm never really home as it is.
Yeah.
Today's one of those days where I could be.
You could be home,
or I'll drive to some weird place in West Virginia where they allow people to smoke.
You'll feel
next
like
to me.
This until you play probably the Colts first quarter money line.
Yeah.
You'll have an immediate win and you'll feel great and you'll forget all about it.
If you bring home some money.
Well, if I bring home money and say, hey, use this on you, that would be good.
Honey, why don't you go out for a while? I'll take the baby. That doesn't come up. It's like, I'm going out for a while. Why don't you keep doing what you do every day?
It's tough.
No
breaks. It's tough. But right now, we're trending in the right direction, Tom.
Love it.
It is time for the Beltway Blitz.
Yeah, it is.
Chris Russell kicking off the Beltway Blitz with us. Slashy, you've got a new venture. We're still going to be hearing from you on 106.7 The Fan, right?
Of course, boys. I'm here with you right now. It's always good to be with you, and I'm coming up after you for Chad Dukes from 2 to 6.30 today. Absolutely.
What's your official title with SI, Russell? What is it called?
It's publisher of the Washington Redskins channel, si.com/NFL/Redskins. Thanks,
publisher
boys.
Publisher to... It's a lot of things to say.
That's a lot. Big business card. I hope you have a long business card.
Yeah, I don't have the business cards just yet. I'm just trying to survive, boys.
What do you think of...
I'm trying to be like mini Grant Paulson, you know?
I don't know about it. Nobody wants to do that. Trent Williams.
Yes.
Redskins. The fight is on. How's this going to end?
Not well. Here's what I'm kind of thinking. I mean, we all know the procedural move that was made yesterday. We all know why they made it, so that they don't have to pay him. I still don't know how much of the remaining weeks of this season they're going to get back as cap credits. I believe it's all, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I know they got a lot of money back, over $5 million in his base salary from all the time that he missed. And not to mention, we don't know about the fines yet and how much he's incurred, and that's like plus $5 million, somewhere in that range, number one. And number two, guys, I thought about this today. What happens if they don't trade him this offseason? I mean, it's inconceivable, right? But it was also inconceivable that they didn't trade him before Laremy Tunsil got traded, and then even after Laremy Tunsil got traded, when they knew Trent Williams was never going to play for you again. So that's what I'm kind of thinking about right now.
Russell, do you see the arrow trending up? I'm not even talking about, you know, like Elon Musk shooting a rocket into the sky. I'm talking about a slight upward gradient on Dwayne Haskins. I do, and here's what I mean. We were told it was going to be a disaster, and all it was boring, pedestrian, and unfulfilling. It wasn't exciting,
right?
But it wasn't, you know, 11 turnovers, 20 sacks, a million quarterback hits, and a guy that looked like he didn't belong in the NFL. Just look like a regular bad quarterback. I can live with that. Is the arrow trending up for you?
Yeah, I think it's trending slightly up. I don't want to go too crazy because I think even though the Jets stink, Greg Williams and that blitz attack that they and he's off and run is going to present some problems, and that's just one game. Before we get to that, I would say this. I'm going to be most concerned with or most interested in seeing not only how he does the mechanical things well that we've talked about all along that he seemingly did pretty well in Buffalo, but I'm going to be interested to see if they can't run the ball, if they choose to put more on his plate, being that it's start two against a veteran defensive coordinator, how he handles that. Because I don't think he handled it very well in the second half in Buffalo. They had three of the four sacks in the second half. He missed some identifications and some protection. So I'm going to be really interested to see how he looks when it comes specifically to that part of next Sunday.
Slashy, I understand first game back against the Jets, Darius Geis is going to be treating with kid gloves.
Yes.
Should I prepare myself in advance just to save my blood pressure?
Yes. Yes.
For December 15th against the Eagles, Adrian Peterson getting more carries than Darius Geis.
No, I don't think, unless Geis gets hurt, and that's the ultimate. We don't know because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. But I definitely think you should prepare yourself for that. I broke it down. If they ran 30 times next week, which I know would drive you two crazy, I would say Adrian Peterson maybe 18, Darius Geis 12, and I would get Geis 4, 5, 6 touches in the screen game, because even if Chris Thompson is back, and we don't know that, he showed an ability to do that not only at LSU, but in his one game this year, 3 for 20 against Philadelphia. So I would get him 17, 18 touches, but I would do it with a combination of the run and the passing game, not just carrying the rock.
Russell, thank you for your time, energy, and efforts. We'll speak
to
you soon.
Thank you, so see you in a little bit.
There he goes. That is Chris Russell. Hockey, please, Tom. Uncle Rob Carlin, NBC Sports Washington. Rob, this is one of those safe bets. If the Capitals play, goals are getting scored. The other team is going to put up a few, but the Capitals are going to score more. This offense is humming right now, huh?
Crazy to think that in a game last night between Sergei Bobrovsky and Braden Holtby, you'd have a track meet like it was, but it's too fast. Florida was really fast and really good. And the Caps spotted them a couple of leads, but they're at a point now where they're so confident in what they're doing and the adjustments that they make in the game that they'll be able to come back from any deficit, whether it's one or two goals or four or five goals like in Vancouver.
Rob, what Ovechkin's doing, I guess, shouldn't surprise me because it's just 12-plus years now of the same thing over and over and over again. But I keep saying he's not going to do it again. He's on pace for 62 goals after two more last night. He's just not slowing down.
I don't know why you would say that at this point. I mean, there was like a little evidence a couple of years ago, and it was really more because of the coaching decisions that just took him off the ice for some understand why reasons, but if that dude's on the ice, he's scoring goals. And if you're doubting him or expecting him to slow down, I've said this for years, it's a you problem, not a him problem. And all he does, he's the greatest goal scorer we've ever seen, possibly the greatest to ever have played the game. And it's amazing, man. He is absolutely in a class by himself, and we are lucky. So lucky that we get to watch this on a night in and night out basis.
Uncle Rob, couple things here. Now, again, they're rolling and it's awesome and it's highly entertaining. But signs of what might slow them down here at some point. They're allowing a league worst shooting percentage, and they've given up the seventh most goal in the NHL, talking about the Capitals. It says to me they're giving up maybe a few too many juicy scoring chances. And Carl Hagelin told us on the show the other day, he thinks they need to tighten a couple things up defensively. There's going to be a night where you don't score 5 or 6 goals. Hasn't happened in a while, so we haven't had to worry about it. But is that something that you're seeing, that maybe they're a little loose at certain points on defense?
Well, for sure. I mean, the stats are there, the numbers are there, the eye test is there, that, you know, there are nights where they're scrambling. And for the really almost the first 40, maybe 40 plus minutes last night, they were chasing that game. And that was a game they scored 25 seconds after they dropped the puck, and they were chasing and looked lost at times and were scrambling big time. Look, I mean, I love Radko Gudas. I love him on the ice, what he's done so far. He's an even better person off the ice. They got him to be a third-pair defenseman who now has to play second-pair because Nick Jensen just does not seem like he's playing with any confidence at all. And he's been dropped down, and he's still a concern even as a third-pair defenseman. And Jonas Siegenthaler, I think, has been outstanding this year, especially on the penalty kill, where he is absolutely elevating his game to where they feel more comfortable 5-on-5, but he's not quite there yet. So, I mean, you're looking at 2 to 3 of their defensemen who are, depending how you want to look at it, out of position. so, or not quite where they should be yet in their career. So, yeah, there's concern. But this is also the style of play they wanted. They wanted a very attacking style that's going to be high risk, high reward. They believe that that style will help them win more games than they're losing, and we're seeing that right now. But, yeah, there's concerns that when things get tighter later in the season in a playoff series, if that creeps up and the goals aren't easy anymore, that could be a problem. But I still trust this team with that much talent.
Rob, thanks, buddy. Much appreciated.
See you, boys.
See you, man.
As Rob Carlin, that is your Beltway Blitz. We're Grant and Danny. Next, let's give you a little NFL stock report. We'll start in the NFC with the teams trending up and down. You are listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan, a Brendan Dahr and Tom Daly production. We are with you until 2. At 4 o'clock today, you'll want to be listening to The Fan. Chris Russell is in for Chad Dukes, and we've got an interview with Trent Williams that our own Craig Hoffman did today that you will hear at 4 o'clock. So make sure you are tuned in at that time. That's about 2 hours and 40 minutes from now. Trent talked to Craig Hoffman. They'll have that audio. They'll react to it. You will hear a bunch of answers you want from Trent Williams for the first time on this station. So make sure you're tuned in at 4 o'clock today. I know I will be.
Yeah, man.
It's a long time coming as he's finally starting to answer some questions from the media about what happened over the last year and why we are currently still in the middle of this stare down with the team where they want him to play. He doesn't want to play. They refuse to trade him. And now it looks like we won't ever see him play for the Redskins again.
That is must listen, quite frankly. It's the kind of getting into the nitty-gritty as opposed to kind of the general scrum and sort of philosophies. And he needed to be pressed on a couple things, not just for a matter of, you know, whether it's distrust or it's a matter of, you know, not believing certain things, but there are certain whys that I think a lot of people would be really curious about, and I'm sure Craig did that. So I'm excited to listen to that at 4, no question.
It is time for your stock report. We are going to start in the NFC. Why don't we go stock up? Best team in the conference, maybe the best team in football right now is San Francisco statistically. I think if they played the Saints, even at home this weekend, I would probably pick New Orleans. But at 8-0, having scored 235 points, only the Seattle Seahawks have scored more points than the 49ers so far this season. By the way, the Vikings are 1 point behind them for third at 234. Minnesota a little more explosive maybe than people think with their offense getting down the field with Diggs and Thielen when he's right. But San Francisco, the big difference is they're also the number one defense in the conference.
The defense is awesome.
In points scored, 102. So they're number two in points scored, number one in points allowed. Because of that, they have the best margin by far, plus 133. Nobody else in the NFC is better than plus 85 in scoring. I'm loving Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Stock way, way up.
The Los Angeles Rams. People forgot about them. They started off the year 3-0, but didn't look great while doing it at a couple instances, right? They had a very close win at Carolina on the road where the defense didn't look very good. They snuck one out against Cleveland. Then they dropped 3 straight games. A horrible, indefensible home loss at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where they gave up 55 points. A 1-point loss at Seattle. No shame in that game. And then San Francisco, we didn't know how good they actually were. They got spanked 20-7. Since then, they've beaten a couple bad teams and beaten them handily. You got a bye week. Now they're playing at Pittsburgh. Chicago looks vulnerable. They've got the Ravens, Cardinals, Seahawks again, Cowboys, 49ers one more time, and the Cardinals. We could be looking up at a group that could easily get themselves to 10 wins. With a win this week, could be up at 11 and maybe even 12 if things break right down the stretch and they beat a couple of these teams that they're close with. I think the Rams were a little too much dirt kicked on them prematurely when they lost 3 games, basically, or 2 games really in 1 week, and then 3 games in consecutive weeks. That was a challenge for them. I think they're just fine and dandy, and they'll hit their stride.
Stock down.
The Chicago Bears are bad right now. Mm. They've lost 4 straight games. Only the Falcons and the Giants have longer losing streaks right now than does the Chicago Bears at 3-5. Chicago, by the way, has a quarterback that is either going to be benched permanently or moved on from at the end of the year. One's going to happen before the other, presumably. But what's crazy about the Bears is that they were pretty good to start the season. If you go back to the very beginning of the year, they had beaten the Broncos. They had beaten the Redskins by a lot on primetime Monday Night Football. And then they pummeled the Vikings in Minnesota's worst game of the season. Vikings are pretty good. A three-game winning streak. They almost beat the Packers in week one. They lost in a game where nobody could score any points by one possession. So they could have easily been 4-0. Since then, Danny, Raiders 24-21 loss. Saints 36-25 loss. Chargers 17-16 loss. Eagles 22-14. They're actually playing close games. That's because their defense is great.
Yeah.
They've got the Lions this weekend, your aforementioned Rams, the Lions again after that with the Cowboys and the Packers and the Chiefs and the Vikings to finish. I could easily see this team that started out 3-1 going 6-10 or worse. The Bears right now stock way, way down.
Stock down.
Their opponents this weekend, the Detroit Lions. I'm trying to scrap for you guys. You're better than your record indicates, right? You had Kansas City dead to rights, and you let it get away. But no shame in that. That's Kansas City. You had Green Bay on the road, dead to rights, and you let them get away. But no shame in that. That's Green Bay, right? Well, now all of a sudden, you get throttled by Minnesota. You eke out one against the New York Football Giants, and you went on the road and you lost to the Raiders. But here's the problem. Here's your upcoming schedule. Those Bears on the road, Cowboys, Redskins, one win in there, Bears again, Vikings, and then you close out the season with the Packers. You just may not have enough. You're better than your record indicates. You're frisky. It's nice. It's a nice story, Matt Patricia and company. But you're not going to have enough wins because you squandered a couple of these opportunities. Detroit Lions, womp, womp, stock down.
Carolina Panthers at 5-3. You have been better since Kyle Allen, who I don't think I could recognize if it had a lineup of seven guys that looked like they were quarterback-bodied dudes, took over for Cam Newton. You beat the Titans by 10 this past week. You got absolutely shellacked by the Panthers a week earlier. But you'd beaten up on the Bucks and the Jaguars and the Texans in the 3 weeks before that. All of a sudden, you're 5-3. Match up with the Packers coming up. You're going to beat the Falcons. You're going to beat the Redskins. You're going to handle the Colts. Other than that, though, there aren't many gimmies left on this schedule. So I'm looking for another win or two to get you into that 10-win mix for the playoffs. This weekend's massive at Lambeau Field for the Panthers. The stock is up on them. That is the NFC. What about the AFC? We'll get to your AFC stock report next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Mike Jones has talked to Trent Williams. We're going to have him on the show at 1. If you missed it, though, Craig Hoffman has also caught up with Trent Williams. And you'll hear that interview at 4 o'clock today, right here on The Fan. Chris Russell's in for Chad Dukes. Plus, we've been telling you how jacked up we are for Alabama and LSU tomorrow. Chip Patterson, CBS college analyst, is going to join us at 1:30, which should be fun as well. But right now, we're giving your stock report on the NFL. We just went through the NFC. Let's go to the AFC, Danny. Stock up or stock down?
Let's go stock up, Tommy. Let's do it. Baltimore Ravens. Initially, I was bullish on the Ravens' prospects for the 2019 season. I thought Lamar Jackson was going to emerge, not only as a runner, which we know about, but I thought he would be not great as a passer, but plenty good enough. Well, the running has been all that and then some, passing just enough when he's had to do so. An impressive win this week against the New England Patriots. That was a measuring stick game, and they measured out just fine. They are 6-2 after a couple squeakers against some, frankly, not that great opponents early on this season. They're now rolling. They get Cincinnati a second time. They eked out the Bengals only a few weeks ago, 23-17. I expect them to throttle the Bengals this weekend. Then they get a vulnerable Texans team without J.J. Watt. They've got plenty more wins left on that schedule. I think they could be one of the top few seeds in the AFC. Maybe the only team that could really challenge the Patriots when it comes to AFC title time.
The Chiefs, they got a huge win over the Vikings this past weekend in a game in which Kansas City ripped off a 91-yard touchdown run while trailing late against a really good Minnesota defense. Damian Williams went to the house, ended up 12 for 125 on the day with a touchdown. You beat Minnesota on a day where Cousins throws three touchdowns and Dalvin Cook averaged about 3.5 a pop. That was kind of their plan. They got to 23 points. The Chiefs got to 26 and won a back-and-forth second-half game without Pat Mahomes, which brings me to why I think the stock is up on them. Even though they've gone 2-3 in their last five, they have kind of hovered around and maintained. They didn't go underwater. They treaded. And now Mahomes is the life raft who's jumping in to save you. You're 6-3. You get him back. You are, as of this moment, the number two offense in the AFC. Wow. 252 points scored. Only the Patriots have been better. They have a better defense than you do, obviously. But you compare them to some of the other, you know, bad defenses in the conference. They blow them out of the water. I don't think they're good. That's my concern. That's why they're not going to get to or win the Super Bowl, in my opinion, because they just give up too many points. They're not good in the red zone. They don't force field goals. But it's 6-3 with Mahomes coming back. They start winning more shootouts right away. I think they ultimately do get to around 12 wins, which is where they'll need to be to get a bye week, potentially, as the number two team in the conference.
Stock down.
The Houston Texans. But, Danny, they're 6-3. Why would you say that? Injuries, man. The injuries have started to hit home. Will Fuller's been out for an extended period of time. Now you start to go on to the defense. They're missing J.J. Watt. They're going to miss Tashaun Gibson. They're missing some of their key pieces here. And they won against Jacksonville handily in London. They beat the Raiders in a close game, lost one a couple weeks ago to the Colts. The injuries, I think, are going to come home to roost. They've got a tough one on the road this week in Baltimore. Rematch with those Colts that got them only a handful of weeks ago. Then the Patriots are going to be coming to town to play these guys. The Patriots already had their blemish. I think they're going to throttle the Texans. I love Deshaun Watson. Hopkins is a star. I actually like what they're doing with Carlos Hyde as kind of thunder and Duke Johnson as lightning. I just think enough of these injuries have happened. It's going to rob them of some of the playmakers and some of the dynamic things that they have. I'm worried about the Texans kind of coming back down to the pack. You give them credit for doing what they've done to this point this season. They've been impressive. At times, maybe the second-best team in the AFC. They've done had some really good wins. They went on the road and beat Kansas City. That was one of the more impressive wins that I can remember, kind of beat them at their own game. I just worry that some of these injuries are going to come back home to roost, buddy.
Stock down.
The Jets. The Jets are really bad. Worse than I thought they were, and I thought they were really bad.
Uh-huh.
The Jets lost to the Dolphins 26-18, and here's what's crazy. Like, you could lose to the Dolphins accidentally, like the Redskins almost did with a two-point conversion at the end of the game, and they changed quarterbacks at halftime. Next thing you know, a little bit of a spark, and they beat you. And it was just kind of a fluke thing that happened. I got the sense watching that game the Dolphins were better than the Jets.
Yeah.
I watched that game and thought, if they played again right when the game ended, the Dolphins would beat them again. If they played in 3 days, the Dolphins would beat them again. I'm going to reiterate that I think Miami is better than the Jets. Now, guess who the Jets play next week? The Washington Football Club.
Oh, hello there.
They play the Redskins. In the meantime, they'll play the Giants, and I think they'll lose. Then they play the Redskins. The Redskins will very likely win that game or should. But the Jets, man, they were not supposed to be this awful. And early in the year, they weren't. In fact, if you go back just about 1 month ago in a few days, they beat the Cowboys by 2 points at home. That was a day when you and I were flying back, I think, from somewhere that we were during these playoffs. The Jets are 1-7.
Yeah, they are.
They've been outscored by 115 points. And if you're looking for the worst offenses in the AFC, you start the list with the Jets, who have yet to score 100 points. Understand that the Patriots have scored 270. The Chiefs have scored 252. The Ravens have scored 251. The Jets on the year have 96 points.
They God, that's gross.
Score. They make the Redskins' offense look fun to watch. Like, Bill Callahan watches that offense and he goes,
oh,
that's gross. They don't score any touchdowns. The Redskins have 8 more points. Excuse me. They have, do the math here. 12 more points than the Jets this year.
Wow. Let's do a little exercise, me and you.
Okay.
Me and you, okay? Find me the loss that this team, who I'm going to mention in a second, should be ashamed of. Find the shameful loss. Week 2 to Kansas City, a fully healthy Kansas City team. Week 3 to the Minnesota Vikings. Week 7 on the road against Green Bay. Week 8 against the Houston Texans, only a 3-point loss when they were healthier than they are right now. Any shameful losses in there?
I don't think so.
Nothing to be embarrassed about, right?
Nothing that I would be afraid for my mom and dad to find out about.
5-4, the Oakland bleeping Raiders, dude. Those are their losses. For a team that's on the rise, not one of those losses is one where you go, okay, we're in the dregs. We're down at the bottom. We're a catfish or we're carp. Down there. Not Bob Carpenter, mind you, the nickname. And I'll see you later. I'm talking about that bottom-feeding gross fish that eats trash. They're okay. They're okay. Look at you, Oakland Raiders. You guys are just fine. Keep it up, man. I like it. I like the shtick. I like John Gruden's faces on the sideline. I like Waller.
Did you see all the hugs he was doing of the black hole last night?
Hey, you guys are fans, man. Come and give me a hug.
Last primetime game.
Derek
Get
Carr's
on over
fine.
Here, man.
And like, listen, I threw dirt on Derek Carr like everybody else did when he was terrible last year. He made a few plays. I liked the way that he looked. I guarantee it. Give me some Josh Jacobs.
Not bad.
Give me some Tyrell Williams going down the field a little bit. Young defensive players. They're okay. They're not great, but they're okay. They're better than awful, and good for them.
For the first time in the history of the show, I will go stock report up on a team Danny went stock report down on. First time in show history.
What?
Yeah, we've got a little disagreement here. I'll go stock up on the Texans, my friend.
Wow. There's no precedent for this.
There is not. What do we do now? Where do we go from here?
I should just leave.
The Texans beat the Jaguars by 23. The Texans beat the Raiders, who you just went stock up on in the last 2 weeks.
No, they did do that.
Their only loss in the last month was to the Colts by a touchdown in a game that I'd like to have back if I'm them. But previously, they beat the Falcons by 30 points. Yes, Danny doesn't care. They beat the Chiefs by a touchdown. Danny doesn't care. Danny doesn't care.
Danny doesn't care. Danny doesn't care.
4-1 in their last five.
I know.
And you know what they've gotten for it? Danny Ruye's dismay.
You're dismissing the injuries. You don't care about the injuries that I care about?
I care a little bit about the injuries, but I can't give them a stock down yet. I'll wait till they lose some games.
Fair enough.
I think they'll lose their first one this weekend against the Ravens, although I'm not going to give them no chance in that game.
Don't just chalk it.
But after that, they're going to beat the Colts, I think, who are going to be on a third-string quarterback at that point. Hibernation mode, Danny. You put your little, you sleep with that little white noise thing next to your head.
I love that.
You crank it up right on your ear. It's like a little earbud right in your ear, and you sleep. That's what you're doing on the Houston Texans. That's a white noise machine right now. That's what you're doing. First time in show history, by the way.
We've never had that happen. That's never happened.
Speaking of debates in show history, very good news for me, very bad news for Danny.
Oh, no.
In a very important show debate.
Oh, dear.
Breaking news. Next, you're not going to want to miss it. Feel it is. What's scarier, a shark or a snake? Well, I'm glad you guys asked. A tourist went missing while snorkeling. His hand was found inside a shark.
Dunzo. The shark got him.
The shark might have gotten him. This is from the Washington Post. Warm Indian Ocean waters have sent predators onto the shark highway, linking South Africa and Australia. And one stop is notable for drawing in tourists and sharks alike. It's called Reunion Island. Now, it doesn't sound like a place that I'd like to go.
I'm not going to have a reunion there.
You're probably not going to hang out there. A Scottish tourist was snorkeling in a lagoon's idyllic waters east of Madagascar on Saturday when he just vanished. Prompted a days-long search that included capturing and opening up tiger sharks to find signs of a human. Now, help me here, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Capturing and opening up sharks, does that mean like looking in their mouths? Or does that mean we are surgically opening up a shark?
I can't imagine that's a normal practice, right? Where you're capturing a shark and cutting him open and go, whoops, nothing here. Good luck.
I don't think you can do that.
It's not a catch and release, right?
Yeah. Just like, well, we'll sew you back up, throw you back in the water.
I don't know what they're doing. Is it an X-ray?
It says, days-long search that included capturing and opening up. That's not an X-ray. Opening up, maybe like just opening their mouth and looking down or something.
How comfortable would you feel? Just some guy holding the jawline for you. All right, it's all clear. Take a gander. Hey, there's a hand down there. Somebody's watch.
Anybody want to get closer in here?
No.
I mean, that is a disaster.
Not doing that at all.
The French island has been a magnet for shark attacks this decade.
Oh, yeah.
With 11 shark attack fatalities since 2010, including two this year. In May, a surfer died after his leg was bitten off in an area where surfing is off limits, and a fisherman was killed in January, according to USA Today. And I'm reading from the Post here. Not clear whether the tourist who died this week was attacked by a shark and drowned.
We think so, though.
Or was just later devoured by one. I'm going to say this shark got him.
Yeah, that sounds like the shark won that face-off. Or at a minimum, something else got him and then the shark got him. But, like, the shark's involved in some way.
Now, you're asking me, Grant, my pal that I co-host this show with, why are you bringing this up? What does this have to do with anything?
Right.
Well, there are two reasons why I'm bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
One, in the great debate of sharks versus snakes, you routinely mention how sharks don't really kill people that
often. It's very infrequent, which it is.
So I wanted to let you know that it's happened a couple times recently in this particular area. That's number one. I want you to stay away from Reunion Island.
Done and done.
What Mrs. Marshall's trying to say is there's a 44th patient. Number two, and this is maybe more important, I have long made the case that we don't know how many people have been eaten by sharks because they just quote-unquote disappear. I've long made this case. You know this is one of my big cases.
This is one of your things, yeah. Well, the point that I make
had
in general—
Had we not have found a hand in this shark that they captured and cut open— They opened him up. He'd just be another missing person on the ocean. And what I'm saying is, I think if we did, if we, I don't want to say if we opened up all the sharks. That seems bad.
That I'm fine like with that, by the
way. A bad practice. If we could actually check to check inside of all these sharks for bones and remnants, graveyards all over the
You think
place.
Their numbers go way up? Because their numbers, you know, think, scientifically are not high.
I think thousands of deaths that we don't know about that are just mysterious people missing in the water, maybe even millions or billions. I think the numbers climb.
They jumped a little bit there. Your estimation was, but I think your point's well seen. I made this argument before many, many years ago where people go, you know what's really rare is bear attacks. And I said, well, people that are attacked by bears often don't fill out reports.
Right.
They don't have a chance to sign up and tell you what happened.
I just spit something way over
you. You got a napkin, buddy?
Did it land?
You just spit pork on my arm.
My bad.
Is there anything I could get to wipe that
Probably
off?
Probably not.
I'm dead serious.
You're going to have to wear it.
That's something.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm just going to scoop and score there. It's stuck in my arm here.
Just pushing it around.
I want it off. I don't want to touch it.
Just touch it. Just wipe it.
I don't know where it is.
All you got to do is wipe it. So.
That was pretty gnarly.
Going back to what we were saying. I think that this happens all the time. Like every day of every month, people are disappearing in the water.
They're just out in the water and then they're gone. And it's sharks.
Sharks are eating them.
Why isn't that caught on in the scientific community, I wonder? Like, I'm asking.
I think it has.
They don't want to admit it?
No.
You know who's out there, by the way? These pro shark people.
You know what science doesn't do is base anything on assumptions. They have to prove it.
Well, it's quite literally what they do. That's how a hypothesis works.
It's how hypothesis works that they then have to test.
Yeah.
But they can't come out scientifically and say, we estimate that another X amount of people have been killed by sharks. They're not just going to be reckless and willy-nilly with this like I am.
But you can afford to be.
I can afford to be willy-nilly. I got a blog in my basement. I don't have the Washington Post.
So the animal conservation people that are very passionate about certain things, they lose a lot of folks when they're trying to tell you how valuable sharks are. Like, I get it. Like, they help ecosystems and stuff like that. It's just a tough sell for people. You know, where it's like, dude, care about the sharks. And I'm like, I can't. I can't get excited about that.
When is the last time?
And it's insensitive, I know, but I can't.
When is the last time that a snake ate a human being that was just missing for a while and we found out actually it's inside of that snake? I don't think that happens very often.
It's a great point. I mean, there are giant snakes in places like India, Burma, where they're swallowing people. They're swallowing goats and all sorts of stuff. And again, we don't know. People swallowed by snakes don't fill out surveys.
But when's the last time that a guy was just missing for a few days and we go, oh, wait, he's in that snake.
It was the snake. Or it could be he's lying in pain because the snake bit him and he's bleeding out and he's got venom that's in his heart. Or it could just be you're asleep in your bed in Silver Spring and a copperhead bites you, which happened. It could be a lot of things. You could be hanging out in this area.
And you're here to tell us about it.
Well, I'm not. The report is.
No. But the person who got eaten by the copperhead is here to tell us about it.
They injected with venom. Sleep well for the rest of your life.
My guy from Reunion Island? Well, he can't do an interview with you today.
Well, he's not suffering anymore. He's donezo. That's it.
So that's better?
Well, I don't know what's better or worse. I do know that I would never be able to get into bed again. I would never be able to live normally. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'll need therapy for the rest of my life.
Do you know that I told you my doctor got bit by, was it a copperhead?
I don't remember what it was. But it was an awful story.
I think it was copperhead.
Yeah.
And he basically, my doctor has a canoe, and he told me this story.
Yeah.
It's a lot longer and more interesting than I'm about
to make it. What's wrong with your hand? And finally he was like, okay, I'll tell you the story.
Well, he said, I scraped it on something. I'm like, you got to come up with a better story than that, dude. Like, you got it. He's like, oh, that's funny you say that. I've told everyone this story. I'm tired of telling it. But what actually happened was I got bit by a snake.
Unbelievable.
Like, that's a lot better story. But anyway, he got bit, and so I went and saw him for the first time in a long time yesterday. It's been now, that happened in the summer. I mean, it's been months. Okay, this was like spring to now. I think like 4 or 5 months. He looks like Trey Turner. He can't close his finger down, and he needs a surgery now. He cannot move his finger down to the rest of his hand. And he has to have surgery because he thinks like all the ligaments are jacked up from the fangs or something.
Ugh.
But.
Just nightmare fuel.
All he's got is a little finger issue. My guy from Reunion Island.
Eaton.
Not with us anymore.
I know we've done this before where we talk about how Danny's argument in this is completely flawed.
No, no, no. You misspoke. Correct.
There was something yesterday when we were talking about giving blood, where Danny said the only reason why I don't like snakes is because I'm afraid of my skin getting punctured.
I didn't say only.
Mm.
I said it's a huge reason why, which it is. It's one of the main reasons.
Interesting,
do you think that the guy that was in the stomach of the shark, do you think his skin got punctured?
It's a great question.
Well, I'm sure it did. And that's why.
Then you should be afraid of that, too.
Well,
you shouldn't be discrediting that.
I am afraid of it. I have a reasonable, rational, correct fear of sharks. People should be afraid of things properly that could do damage to them. So if I'm out swimming at Reunion Island and I get pummeled, that's on me. The point I've always made correctly, that's unassailable and every word about it is correct, I'm more afraid to go outside and get mugged than I am of like a nuclear bomb around the world. I'm not afraid of Reunion Island. I'm afraid of the mugger right outside, like the shooting that happened yesterday or a couple weeks ago on Half Street. That's way more fearful for me than the non-tangible I'm at South Africa surfing. That has nothing to do with my life. What does is living your life and a hidden slithering menace that wants to kill you and puncture your skin and ruin your chances of happiness lurks everywhere. They're among us.
The overrating,
that's
though,
the
of the menace. I mean, here's what the menace wants to do.
Thousands.
Hey, Mr. Rouye, hope you're having a good day. Danny, hope you're having a good
day.
He's
just looking for wrestling tickets.
Yeah, one's endangered. I can't respond to that. I'm going to keep moving on, but I want you to know that I know what you said. One's endangered, the other thriving and surviving and doing great. Always among us. Tens of thousands of bites every year.
Yeah, but the shark is going to steal more of your life essence, as you put it, for not giving blood.
Yeah, the shark's going to kill me.
Yeah.
If I'm out in the water and I'm alone, the shark's going to kill me. There's no.
And you're
not like
here,
I wouldn't be afraid.
You're not going to have any life essence to give to anybody.
Of course I would. Of course I'd be afraid of a shark. It's correct. People should be afraid of bears, of sharks, of coyotes, of the bobcat, the
jaguar,
dogger. Yeah, I mean, everyone should be afraid of all these things. Animals are terrifying.
Your comp is you're more afraid of here than there.
Yeah, I'm more afraid of what could happen.
It's understood. But here, you're afraid of, like, somebody punching you in the face, playing knockout.
Yep, which happened right over here, 100
okay.
yards from here.
Understood. There, you die. Here, you get punched in the face. That's the difference.
But here's the difference.
Your heartbeat raises. The snake runs away as fast as possible.
Here's
it
the
goes,
difference.
Oh, my God, Danny saw me. And he runs away.
Or he bites you tens of thousands of times a year.
But
and
probably
more deadly,
not.
More deadly.
Almost 99.9% of the time, my research says he won't bite you.
Again, you don't have any research. You don't know anything.
I have a team.
I have correctness.
I have a team.
Here's the difference also, as you alluded to. And here's my correct response. I'm not going there. I live here. I'm here where the danger is. I'm not going there where that danger is. If I lived near Reunion Island and it was a risk, we'd have a different conversation. I'm not going there ever in my life. You'll never catch me there. You could absolutely catch me outside of our building where deaths are occurring, where gang members are knocking people out on a routine basis. That's way more dangerous. That's scarier because that's tangible, a tangible threat, just like asteroids. I rest.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. I'll go get you a napkin. We'll come back refreshed for Mike Jones. USA Today.
Asteroid Defense.
He talked to Trent Williams today, listening to the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.